are back again. Yeah, finally, it's good to be back, man.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's, you know, you have plans for things sometimes, and then life just decides to throw a couple of curveballs at you. Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know, we had kind of caught up about it a little bit, but I tore my Achilles playing basketball in December, like early December. And yeah. I've just been like, I feel like I've been playing catch up for like the last like six weeks, you know?
All it takes is like, you got two things in a row. You got the incident and a little bit of an injury, and then the holidays, right?
Like, yes.
Talk about like having two big hurdles at the same time. The holidays, I always feel, are those as a time where, like, this time for sure, it was this almost like instant break. And the way the holidays fell, it felt like we had these 3 weeks where like no one was working. Like, you know, like clients were down, you know, I was off from school. And then now with you, and then I'm sure with you, and having gone through the injury at the same time, it's kind of like everything else takes a back seat.
Oh, right? Yeah. Big time. And it's like, it's so hard because, like, you know, you want to be active in this time where you're like, okay, I have things to do. I'm trying to wrap things up at the end of the year. And now I'm just forced to totally slow down. And like, for the first couple of weeks, I couldn't even really use my arms because I was on crutches. Yeah. And then it was just like figuring out how to walk in like this air cast. And it's just like, yeah, it's just, everything is like, life is just kind of like, hey, take a deep breath. We got to kind of slow things down a little bit for the next few weeks until we get back to normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When life throws you those little curveballs, man, you're like, especially, I don't know if you're, I think I'm probably a lot more impatient than you are. I tend to have like zero patience when it comes to things that if I have things in mind and I have a checklist, I'm dying to get through it. Right.
And, oh yeah.
Last year is when I went through my shoulder injury and surgery, and that, I know exactly what you're talking about, man. It just, it's number one priority, just making sure you get it and you're taking care of yourself and you're doing everything right. But gosh, the lingering, when your mindset is like, I'm ready to go, but if your injury is still telling you not yet, that's a frustrating time, you know?
Oh yeah. And I like to say like I have like restless life syndrome because like I can't sit still. It's like it's the same thing. Like I have all these ideas, and to not be able to do it or to have to ask for help, which I hate doing, is like, it's just really hard. And it's like, I honestly, you know, I always say like, I try to learn something from every experience that I go through. And like, there is some like good that came out of this, because it probably was like, hey, maybe just like take a deep breath and slow down for a little bit.
Yeah.
But also like, now I'm like ready to get back. I'm like so ready to get back.
Sure. Sure. And the cool thing too, is I can tell you on the other side of it, I've learned not to take anything for granted in not only never letting that happen again, but just on any given day when you have something that you feel like is a hurdle or in your way, and you're like, the fact that I can get rid of that and solve that issue right now. Wow. Like that, take total gratitude that that's something that you can kind of slay in one day. Right. Like
totally.
Cause I hate that long thing where it's like a doctor's telling you 4 to 6 months and then another 3 months. And I'm like, no, I know. Work that way.
Yeah, I know. It definitely, like, the sticker shock of it all is very, it's hard to swallow in the beginning.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it gets better, man. And you're on a speedy recovery, because man, we got a whole year ahead of us. And
I know,
what do you typically feel at a new year? Are you one of those folks that really goes like, yes, new year and gung ho? Or is it more like, why do you concentrate it all in 1 week and set yourself up for failure?
I think it's a good question. And I like this year, especially because I've had more downtime to think about that. I don't know. I think in the past, I've hit it pretty hard. Like I'm like, okay, I have a plan for the new year. Like, this is kind of what I want to do. And I'll like, for the first month, like January, I'm just like all like cylinders are firing. But I think this year, like somebody gave me some good advice, or they were like, you know, I try like not to do like resolutions. Instead, I like think of a word that's going to sum up like the energy of the year. And I try to like always keep that present in the back of my brain. I was like, I kind of like that better. Cause like, yeah. instead of me like having like really solid goals, I'm like, oh, like how does this like kind of channel into like all these things? And like, it kind of gives me more freedom to like move around and like pivot with like what's happening, you know?
Gotcha. Did you choose a word?
Yeah. So my word for this year is growth. Good. And I liked it because I was like, it's a little ambiguous. And I'm like, it allows me to kind of like that, like to me feels like it could work for anything. Growth in personal relationships, growth in professional relationships, growth in my freelance business. I'm like any, like it doesn't hook me into anything specific, but it always is like, oh, I have that mindset of like, yeah, I want things to get better. I want things to change this year. I want them to be more productive.
There's still something you can measure with that, because like if growth sounds so kind of like spread yourself thin, right? You're like, okay, mm-hmm. I could put growth in any area of my life here and put mm-hmm. that into a resolution. But you can look it back and be like, did I grow? Right? There is something you could say that's quite tangible mm-hmm. and that you can actually record and say, I did succeed at this, you know?
Sure.
I like that approach. I use that in most of my semesters in class is mm-hmm. I give the kids a word at the very beginning. And that way I can always, it's not so much a word that means it, they're all the same. It's always growth, be brave, you know, over communicate or whatever it might be. But what it does do is it gives me a chance to, when I need to give them that extra push, like right before a project's due or whatever, I can repeat that word over and over again. And it's almost like this like subconscious little trigger, you know, that you can, and it works for me too. I've been doing that a lot. And I think this year, because of something I had to put together a few weeks ago, my word is unconventional. And, and that's another weird one, right? Cause it's kind of like, how can I truly measure that? But what I'm really realizing as I think as a creative is you do fall into those slumps. You do fall into those, call them like those comfort zones where maybe are you pushing yourself so out of it, where I really appreciate the designers and the folks out there that just not only knock it out of the park every time, but you're like, that's you, like that's like you did that for the client, not for you as a, I am not an individual artist. I would never have a show, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to push myself to be like, don't do anything conventional anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
I love
what can you do to spin it?
Yeah. I think it's just like, it's nice to have that always like present in the back of your brain, right? Mm-hmm. Like you, like it's almost like a mood board for the, like people do that for the year or whatever. This is kind of how I want things to go, but it's just like, it boils it down to the one thing. Like instead of like trying to like chase 14 different like images of like stuff. And I like the reason I'm like looking at one right now that I made last year and I'm like, this was great, but I was like, it's so hard to have like all these ideas and feelings. It's like, you just want like one thing to be like, what do I want the year to be? You know? And like, no, and it's not like if I don't have this, it's going to ruin, you know, like my 6 month like trajectory or whatever. It's more so just like, you get a chance to kind of like at the end of the month, be like, wow, what happened this month? Like, did it like kind of meet that feeling a little bit? And like, if it didn't, cool. It's like, you know, like maybe next month it'll happen. It's like less I think this year I'm like less expectations on myself, because it's like I don't want to put myself in a place where like I'm going to be disappointed by not hitting some form of success that I've measured, you know what I mean? It's more so like appreciating what I have done or like what I have met in that time.
I wonder if that comes with a certain amount of like not only maturity but also like year after year, if it wasn't working, by saying I'm gonna do this as a like a resolution, that you're almost saying to yourself, I'm better, I'm more tuned and wired to do it more this way. And and I agree, like a favorite term of mine is continuous improvement. Like if that is not something you're actively doing in some way, shape or form, even weekly, monthly, whatever, to me it's just as broad as what you said as far as growth, right? Because I can look at that in every situation and be like, is the continuous improvement always happening? And why I love about teaching that is it also makes me more accountable to for that as well, because I definitely can't preach it unless I'm practicing it as best as possible, you know? Yeah. And I'm a big fan of that.
It's good too. I think, like, I wish I had learned that earlier, that, like, you know, growing up in the internet age, like, instant gratification is something that's so easy to just be like, well, why don't I have this now? Why don't I have this tomorrow? Why don't I have this, like, in a week? And it's like, especially, like, you know, not to knock Instagram, because, you know, it's good for me and, like, kind of, you know, growing a freelance business. But I feel like, you know, like, college and high school students that want to get into the creative field, sometimes they see people that have like 100,000 followers, and they're like, oh, if I just make a bunch of reels on like to do this, or like if I make a piece of art every day, like that'll get me like the followers that I need to grow a business or to be successful. And I'm like, no, I wish like more people would realize like it's such like the uphill, like the creeping climb of like growing a successful creative career. Like it takes a long time. And like, I'm in the infant stages of that. I mean, you've been doing this for decades, and you can't measure success in a week's worth of input or a month's worth of input. And I think, you know, the burnout hits so much harder when you're pushing so hard to get to something, when it's more so like, hey, kind of like take a step back, take some deep breaths, and just enjoy the process of like doing and making connections and meeting people and getting advice, finding mentorship, and like all those little like building blocks. Like you kind of just like you stack them up on top of each other really slowly, and like that's where that focus word comes in, because you're like, okay, I have a goal, but it's not like I have to have 5,000 more Instagram followers by the end of April. You know, it's more so just like, I just want to make stuff. I want to meet some new people. I want to do some good work, and I want to enjoy the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the sucky part of that is that dangling carrot of Instagram and other social media things, that it feels like that added pressure, and it shouldn't be there. And I think you're right. Like, if you can see where growth happens, let's say in getting your freelance business a little bit more, where growth really means it's happening is, did you do better this year than you did last year? Did you make, and it's not just the financial side too, right? I think you bring up good points. Did you put yourself out there maybe a little bit more? Did you meet a more pivotal person or a client that actually can kind of push you into other things and refer you, right? So it's like that growth happens if you're doing a great job. And I think, right, like if you're level-headed, you're doing good work, you're enjoying this process of meeting new people, working for new people, delivering great content and creative for them, that's the growth that I feel like, gosh, you're not so grateful for it. Like it takes you to actually say to yourself, whoa, look at the retrospect. Look what's happened. And that's what I feel like maybe over this break, particularly with holidays and stuff and getting some downtime, was like reconfiguring my, I was going to say responsibility of being on social media. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
my contribution to social media. And I feel like that pressure got less as far as having to be so connected to it and post and do it. That doesn't give me the growth. That doesn't give me the satisfaction. What really does is all those things you just mentioned, you know, all the good things that come from it. And so like keeping track of that, I think writing down those things sometimes is really good. I think that keeps me from not being the January 1st, you know, resolution person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, and like, there's nothing to knock, like people that are really goal driven. Like, I think it's good to have a list if that's what's going to motivate you to do work. But I think for me, like, I've always like been, I'm like, I'm going to push, I'm going to work towards this goal that I have. And I think more so now than ever, because like things have been so ambiguous the last couple of years, where I'm like, I don't know how to become a graphic designer. How do I figure this out? I don't know how to start a freelance business. I guess I'm going to figure this out. It's like the need to, or like the acceptance of, I think, failing and being okay with that is like the recipe for success with this. Like instead of me trying to output a ton of stuff. It's more so just being like, well, maybe I'll just try to talk to some people this year. Maybe that will get me some new work. I'll try to, you know, connect with people and try to find a mentor. And that's how you and I connected. And it's like not being afraid to ask questions and not being afraid to like embarrass yourself, like with yeah. like posting work or, you know, trying to find work or trying to find a job. Like, I don't know. I think that's really it. It's like, be okay with just like not being okay. Like the uncomfortableness is where the growth happens.
Also too, you're finding that the, what you thought was the path ahead was to parallel path with someone that's done it and has been successful. And it couldn't be further. It couldn't be more opposite than that. I think it's the get on your path. And guess what? Yours might encourage someone else to take that risk or do whatever. Because I still feel the pressure that you got to look at a successful story or a successful person or a successful campaign or whatever it might be and mimic that. And that's that whole thing about like innovating. And I feel like that's what's being conventional, but being unconventional would being like, where's a path that no one's gone down? You know, where's that thing? It's funny. You were getting into it and I was going, oh man, you're setting me up for the next question I had perfectly.
Yeah.
How comfortable are you with embracing the unknown? And it could be for anything, right? Like something being dropped on your lap and you saying, I could do this, and you can't, or you have no experience in that zone or whatever. Is that something you feel you're pretty courageous with?
I think I'm particularly lucky that I grew up with parents that were very much like, explore the things that interest you. Like, it wasn't like I didn't have like a path where like people were like, you have to do this because this is what I see your future being. So like, I've always been very able to just kind of be like, oh, well, maybe I should try this and see if I like it. Maybe I should figure this out. And like, my dad has always been the type of person that's like, there are no stupid questions. Always ask people. He's like, reach out, like, get the things that you need, because there are people out there that want to give you advice and want to like mentor and want to like pass on their knowledge. And, you know, I found that by doing that, like, especially with this, like in like the creative and the graphic design world, people are so gung ho to be like, hell yeah. Like, I want it. Like, give me your hand. Let me help you like figure this out. Like, so yeah, I think I kind of love it. Like, I think some people think I'm like a little sick and twisted by like just being like, yeah, I'll throw myself in and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's still stressful and it's scary. And there are times where I doubt myself, but I don't know. It's been so rewarding to just like look back and say like, wow, if I hadn't asked these questions, if I hadn't reached out to you or to somebody else, like, where would I be right now? And I think, just like having that, like embracing the unknown is kind of the secret to the recipe. Like, that's it.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think a lot of people, I think sometimes it's like seeing a good example of someone doing it. And if someone gets to really share that story and talk about it a little bit, it's so inspiring to find that way to ignite it in your own life, wherever it might be. Right. And I think too, like, I've had a few examples where if, let's say, a great opportunity comes your way and your instinct is to always say no, and you've done that all the time. Mm-hmm. And how many times did you walk away from saying no and go, gosh, what was I thinking? I should, of course I could have handled that. Of course I could have done that, you know? And so getting a few of those in life and then having one or two where it was the ultimate gamble and you said, absolutely, yes, let's go. And and it worked out great. It worked out fine. You know, it was like no one got hurt. In fact, it was like, sometimes it could be like some of the best work you do or the connections and the community that it allows you to kind of fall into are even better. And then you wonder, like, if I didn't say yes to that, none of this would exist right now.
Right.
And so I like this idea of like, kind of, if you think about the unknown, the fear of it, I get. We all have that. But one of the best quotes I found last year that I used in class was this idea that on the other side of fear is your wildest dreams. And I was like, who wrote that? I had to find out who wrote that, because it was so true about if you think of it that way, the fear now is a challenge. The fear is now a hurdle rather than a wall. And I've let so many of those things be like the wall. And now it's like, no. How am I gonna break through this? Because I do realize, and then ask yourself that question, what is on the other side of it? And it's probably something you really, really want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I just think, my thing is like, now I'm like, what's the downside to saying yes? If it's not something that's going to like physically or financially harm me, where I'm like, oh, if I fail, I fail. Like if I tarnish a relationship by giving it a shot and this other person doesn't see the effort. I mean, it's just the nature of the role, right? Like of the dice. Like you just have to do it. I think if you're passionate about something, I don't know. There's no other way around the wall. You just have to go over it. You have to try.
Yeah. I think, and then we also get to see what a lot of other people do. We can see the transparency, I think, in the industry of people even sharing failures a lot of times. And we've had a few episodes like that in the past where we talked about those times where a big mistake was, you know, a big lesson, obviously, but it's also that room for growth. You could talk to anybody that gets burned in some way. And I always use the example of, like, let's say you're you start freelancing and you're doing work for someone and you're getting taken advantage of. There's scope creep. There's this, there's no payment. You've handed over work, whatever. And that frustration is so real. But then it's also like, but wait, you just got burned. So guess what? Now, will you make that contract a little bit better? Will you email and be crystal clear on expectations and timelines now? So like, without that burn, it's so hard to make the new recommendations and the new requirements in what you do, right?
Like
the checklist. And so once you get a few of those burns in there, man, like you are all of a sudden, you're just like, I'm never taking that chance again. We're covering my ass, you know?
Totally. You have to, I don't know. You don't learn if you don't fail. Like, I really truly believe, like, and like, you saying like, oh, if you get burned for a project, that happens all the time. I wouldn't like, when I first started freelancing, I didn't have a contract. I didn't have anything set up. And then you get burned like one time and then you're like, time to maybe put something together. And then, you know, and then you start saying, you know, you do a project where you're like, wow, I did way more work than I budgeted for. And then you start figuring that out. It's a process. It really, you have to be able to like experience the stuff. And I even, I had somebody reach out to me today that was like, hey, I have some questions about freelancing. And I was like, I don't even think I'm particularly good at this, but I would love to share with you some of the things that I've learned over the last couple of years. And you know, it's true. Like, you think back and you have that perspective and you're like, oh wow, I did, like, I've shifted quite a bit in 3 or 4 years of doing this to like where I feel like I'm finally having some momentum. I'm doing things the way that I think they should be done. And
yeah,
I mean, that'll change too. Next year, things will probably look a little different. As, you know, you keep stacking those chips and like every little piece of experience is like, it just builds that tower a little bit higher.
Yeah. And it's neat to know that like wherever you are at, you could be the helper or being helped. Like, you know, it's like I love when someone has that experience that you just did, because it's kind of like all it takes is you putting one thing out there or doing one thing to show a lesson learned or whatever. And if someone is seeing that or someone is searching for the answer and they come across you or whatever it just might be, all of a sudden you get to share that. And I feel like there's so much work out there for us that we no longer have that fear or threat that this I'm helping someone and that could be less work for me or something like that. You'd be so foolish to think. Hard to believe that before all of these great things like podcasts and social media and maybe even just all these little apps that we could share now, people were so, you know, holding tight to all of their things. And now it's so nice to see that it's kind of like, oh, I had this issue with that. Here's my solution. Or I had this, or here's my pitch deck. Take it. Like,
yeah.
The creative is still mine in there, but I'm just giving you an outline. Or, of course. Or a wireframe, you know?
And I think I was very fortunate to come in when I did, because I felt like when I started looking into like more creative work, there was so much out there to like reference, you know, coming out of architecture. And I still, you know, with the people that I keep in touch with, I still feel like it's very like closed fisted. Like, you know, the industry tries really hard to keep you from growing as a team and more as an individual. And I think what I love about this community is there's so much willingness to help. And I think social media plays a big role in that. And like us being able to even chat about experiences, like that's helpful too. I really think, you know, I'm grateful to have it, because I don't know that I'd be where I am right now without it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. And then the way you can, anytime you get something like that, I feel like it inspires the next move that you can do. You know what I mean? And it might be diving into something a little bit more. It might be like, oh, now I'm comfortable in trying this out, because each one of these steps really, really helps. I think like meeting folks through 2020 and now, I feel like a lot of people made the connection virtually with folks, right? And then all of a sudden, like, I'm starting to see everyone kind of get to meet in real life for the first time too. And I think that's fantastic. And like knowing, like I noticed when you posted about signing up for Crop.
Yeah.
Again, like that's to me the next step, right? That's where you go, okay, like enough of this Zoom and enough of this direct message on someone. I'm going to a thing and I'm giving my, I want to make sure that this is exactly, this is my industry. This is where I'm going to go. This is the next step, you know?
Right. And I was actually,
you looking forward to it?
Oh, I can't wait. It's funny, like you mention it, because, you know, this is something that we've chatted about over the last like year or two. And like, it's always been like one excuse or another. And like that I haven't been able to make it. And now I'm like, wow, I'm really like, I feel like I'm investing in myself. And that's where like this whole like growth thing kind of comes into play. Cause I'm like, yes, this is a year. I was like, I committed to myself. I committed to a community that I feel like I'm like steadily becoming more stitched into. I'm excited. And, you know, Matt is a huge influence for me, and I love kind of like what he's done. Like I knew about Crop and like his work that he was doing with that, you know, years ago when I was like kind of looking into like, what is graphic design? I was like, look at all these like awesome conferences that are happening where people are just like meeting, like sharing stories, the workshops. I was like, this is amazing. And like now this year to be like, I get to be a part of that is such a, like a wow, like a 180 moment to be like, where was I then? And like, where am I now? And like, it's great. I love it.
Yeah. And you're going to, it's such a cool thing to know that like, that's something you could do. That's somewhere where you can go. The experience you'll get, it's literally like opening Pandora's box. Cause you're like, all of a sudden you're getting an instant reaction as to how valuable conferences, meetups, whatever it might be. You know, we talked a lot about them on there, and there's everything from something you could do in your hometown to, you know, something like Adobe Max. And there's all these things also in between. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those are the ones that I feel like are so much more vital and influential, and you leave so much more inspired. And it's hard to imagine that you can get more, right? Until you go and you see like exactly how great these things are. I'm waiting for one thing to clear in my schedule to make sure I can go.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like Crop, if you guys haven't checked it out, it's CropCon. I believe it's cropcons.com is the website. And our buddy Matt Dawson puts it on with his wife. And they are, I think this is the 10-year anniversary, I believe. So
yeah,
it's so neat to see these smaller, more intimate ones. You leave almost making sure you've met just about every single attendee, which is awesome, you know, and smack dab in the middle, right in Austin. So you, hopefully everyone can make it, you know, and I just, I've walked away from, I've gone to four now, and I'm telling you, it's like you, it's just, you come with five new best friends, you come with about 30 new associates and colleagues, and you keep those conversations alive afterwards. And it's having having all of those folks behind you as, let's call yourself a one person show, if you're running a thing, or even you as an employed person, you're still, it's still you, you know, kind of trying to do better and doing whatever, and having all these people that you can consider like advocates and good support. I don't know of any other industry that really has something that beneficial.
You know? I don't, none that I've ever seen. And like, even, you know, I used to, as a landscape architect, I would go to conferences, and it definitely did not, it was not nearly as fun as any of this stuff looks. Like, I don't know. It just seems like people are so jazzed up to meet each other and like share work and just like grow their little, like grow this community. It's like, it's great. I love it. And like, you know, CropCon is awesome. Like Creative South is happening. You're going to be there. I know. Into the Woods that Lincoln put on over the summer looked amazing. Incredible. And I just like, it's all these people that I look like, you know, you look up to them, and I'm like, this work is like, it's so inspiring to me. And then you get to meet them and you get to swap stories and you feel like, I don't know, you just get to feel so connected. I love that. Like, and like, as a people person, to me, like, the digital connection is great, but the physical like connection and like the memories that you get to create and like the, it's like, I don't know. It's so much more tangible. And I think something I've been thinking about more, you know, as this is happening, is like, I love pursuing this like more like in-person contact and like meeting clients and meeting colleagues. And like, I just love that. And like, even like doing this podcast with you, like to me, feels so much more rewarding than just like doing a bunch of posts on social media. Like, I love the activity part of this is way better to me than anything else.
I've become such a, I've like reinvested so much time in the idea of the in real life in every way, shape or form. I think we have, now we have a great tool to use in convenience, right? New York, Los Angeles. How else can we do this on a Friday afternoon? Right. And, and it works. And it's great. Right. It's so good to have as the backup, as the, you know, but the jewel, the centerpiece, the, all of that, really comes from those moments of everybody together at the same place, same time. And I can think of so many people that are now in my life that would I've never known. And it's more when I've gotten into it, the independent side. And I think all this stuff we were talking about not even just the in-person thing, but just these conferences and these things that we get to do, that I always ask my friends that are in other industries, do you have, like, sometimes they're like, you're going to another conference? I'm like, hell yeah. You know, it's like, what do you, where do you go? What is your industry doing for you?
Right.
I have to think it must come from the fact that as creatives, maybe we are more in line to have either the side hustle or start actually get to the point of starting your own thing. It's a very entrepreneurial spirited industry.
Totally.
Amongst any, I can't think of anything else that allows you to, like, who else is doing something and then doing it kind of on the side, or trying to get to that part where, oh, the freelance business is taking over my 9 to 5 and I can move there. And there's so many good and everyone's story is so different. Like Jason that you got to interview as well. Like, you know, him, we had such a great conversation at Into the Woods, and it was so awesome to chat with all of them. And that's, I finally got to spend more time with folks like Mike Jones with Creative South. Peter that works with him as well, all these great people. And then Dan and his team over at Lincoln, Jordan was there, Matt was there, all these folks. We have a, and we have this little Slack channel of designers that we're all kind of like in. And there were 3 or 4 people that were, have been on there for years that we've never met in real life. And there we were meeting in a bar and the night before, and you're like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, why aren't we doing more of this? You know?
Yeah. And then it like, it kind of like ripples, right? Cause then you get, you know, Dan gets to do a presentation for your students, which was like amazing. Even like, you know, Michael Fugoso, like all those people that like have kind of like shifted and are doing things, like, you know, these are all like part of the network of friends and creatives that you get to help each other out, and you get to like, they get to come in and like, you know, dish like to your students and tell them things, and like now you're going to Creative South to actually like present. Like, it's all this stuff that, like, you know, you, this whole idea of like, you get what you give. And like, if you just give a little bit of your time and yourself to like meeting some new people, it's like everyone just wants to help each other out. It's awesome. Yeah,
and it's a snowball effect too, because it turns and it grows, and all of a sudden, like, I love seeing if someone introduces me to someone even via Instagram, it's like, hey, you guys do similar work, whatever, you should know each other. And then you connect and you realize you had like 26 mutual friends, and you're like, how did I not know you?
Right. we're
in quite a good little space here, you know, which is awesome. What do you think about the personal growth and the things for the rest of this year? Like, what do you hope come December? What are your best wishes for the growth? Like, what do you want to see?
I want to do more projects. Like, in my freelance business, I love what I've been able to do. It just kind of worked out this way, where it just happens to be a lot of like small startup businesses that I've been working with, and it's so much fun and it's really rewarding. But I think I'd also like to expand a little bit. Like, I was working on some artwork for an album cover for a band that's going to be like overlapping into this year. Like, I love that stuff. Like, I want to do more like poster work and stuff. And then also, you know, this year I put a lot of time into some merchandise for myself. Like, I opened a web store. I get to kind of like fold in some of my product design from like my day job into my freelance time. And I love it. Great. It's great. Like, I'm definitely going to be doing more of that this year. I'm working on a drop for the spring, and I'm like, you know what? This is fun for me. Like, it's stuff that I get to do for myself. And I don't know, like, the growth is just like, I'm just kind of like at this point, like, well, we'll see what happens. Like, maybe I'll throw a little bit of time to this and we'll see where it goes. I'm always going to be trying to like bolster the freelance work, and I'm always going to be trying to do more branding and marketing stuff because I love it. But there are other aspects of that I love too. Like, I love, you know, I love lifestyle clothing brands, and I love punk rock music, and I love like all that stuff. And I'm like, I want to fold this all into work, and I want to do more of it. And obviously, like, I don't want to overwhelm myself, but I'm like, I definitely, you know, I want to do it. And like, I'm going to take those opportunities, and people that come to me, like, I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to try to work with them. Even if they've got a tiny budget, like, we'll figure something out. Cause I'm like, you know, if this time has shown me anything, it's like, the more times I say yes and am able to figure out a middle ground that we can kind of work together on, the more times I get to look back and say, wow, that was an awesome project, or like, wow, 6 months ago, I never would have thought I would be doing this. I think, you know, growth happens in so many ways, and it's going to go the way that it goes. And I'm just going to kind of ride the wave, you know?
That's good, man. It sounds like you've got an idea of like the goals you have that you want to see and the growth you want to see don't come from anything being forced as an expectation. It's more like you've seen the landscape. You see what's in front of you. You see what your interests are, what you like to do, what you don't like to do, right? Making a big swift change in industry is a big thing that you did too. So like, you're almost like going like, let me take advantage of this world I've chosen, right?
Yeah.
And it's like these things about like, how can I take a little bit of this part, a little bit of this, and fuse it together into something? And that's going to give me ultimate satisfaction. Whereas I feel like you could talk to someone maybe a year or even 2 years ago, and it sounds like most people's goals were more driven by an expectation or some kind of a wish. And I don't even know if that's sometimes the right way to look at it. You know, it is like, it's all right there. So it's just trying to find the right, maybe combination or chemistry of things that you're currently doing that you can really push and be more happy with.
Totally. What about you? You know, what do you think about your year going forward?
Gosh, I would say the things I would like to see by the end of this year are probably a more consistency with, what's the right way to say it? Kind of in the workflow, because it's like, I haven't been particular with the jobs and the projects and the clients that we're working with. And I feel like I've already learned enough to identify which ones really do have the long-term satisfaction and great results. That's really where it comes from, right? And then sure. The ones that kind of just become, you know, extra, maybe an extra cash on the side or whatever it might be, but might have been a hurdle or might have been a hard one. I want to make sure it's more purposeful. I think I love when something is really in the wheelhouse, something I want to be a part of. And I love projects that are experiential. So I'm trying to wrap that up into a thing. I'm being like, what are my qualifications of saying yes to something, you know, and it has to include a few of these things. And I think if those are the things I really look for, that growth and the goals will be met automatically, you know, working on this really cool breakfast and lunch diner. And right now, and to me, that's the stuff I love to do. And the owners and the clients were already in a partnership, it feels like, rather than vendor and client kind of situation. And with the help of like a lot of cool new things like ChatGPT or whatever it might be, I'm broadening my kind of like part in these things. And it's no longer just I'm providing you designs. It's really partnership from the very beginning and planting a seed, seeing it get to that thing and being super proud of the place, the destination, and the experience that comes from that job. And those are things that I'm like, I'm really realizing that's kind of the want when it comes to what projects. And I know not every project can be that way, but as long as there's two or three of those per year, that balance is really good. You know? And my satisfaction just is better with those rather than the ones that I'm like, this one maybe came with a pretty good estimate and it's a good chunk of income, but then you're like, am I really enjoying and getting anything out of this?
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to be a little bit more conscious of that.
Yeah. And I think that's really it. Like, you know, like that, I don't truly believe that manifestation is like, you know, something that you're like, I can't put that energy out into the world and it's going to like boomerang back to me. But I think the more you do will things into existence where you're like, I'm going to like be more conscious of like these hints that are like, I've been maybe ignoring. And that's because that's really what it is. I think it's like,
it is
the more you say like, oh, well, this is the type of stuff I want to work on. And then the more you'll start to realize like, oh, I've had this kind of channel this whole time that I never realized. And like your mind subconsciously just starts picking up on it more. And then that's how it just kind of finds you a little bit easier. You can't force it, but I do think like the more conscious you are of these things, like even talking about like that one word, like to kind of sum up the year, like the more you feed that into your brain, like, oh, I'm going to find more of these projects. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
If I say it's going to happen, and you will, like, it's just kind of the way that it works.
Yeah. It's like whatever tactic works for you and your personality and your kind of openness to these things.
Yeah.
Find it. Cause you're right. I think I need that constant like reminder in a very quick and simple way. And that's why I love the idea of those words or just a main goal for the whole year, because you can pop it in very conveniently when needed. You know, and then put it out there. Tell people what you want to do, even if it's just a colleague or a friend or a family member, because the accountability is definitely, if I'm not putting it out there and no one's ever heard me say what I want out of this year, I will procrastinate the hell out of it and it will not happen.
I'm with you on that.
Before we end, what are you working on for any new or future episodes or hopes that you want to conversations or topics you want to talk about?
I think I have a couple of people that I've been in touch with that I'm like, we should do something, and they're like, hell yeah, let's do it. The first one, I think coming back, a friend of mine and his wife have been running this great like apothecary business in New Jersey, and their branding is just so intentional. And I really want to catch up with them about like start, like from the perspective of a small business owner, like starting a business, consistency with a brand, you know, extrapolating that out into like products and placement and advertising. Cause I think it's good for like young designers to hear like the other side of it. It's not just finding the work. It's like understanding the people that need the work done. So definitely that. I want to talk to more designers. I think it's, you know, weaving my way through this community and getting more stories about people's journeys has been so good for me. And I think, you know, from the outreach that I've had of people being like, this is great. I love this. Like, I want more of it. I think, you know, it's something that was not, that didn't really exist when I needed it most. And I think I want other people to have it. And I think that's kind of where this is heading for me, is like just continuing that journey of like getting people's backstories and like people being able to be inspired by that.
I love it, dude. That's the whole goal. That was it.
Excellent. And just have fun with it, right?
Yeah.
You just keep having fun with it.
Why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
I always say that. It's like, I think have fun has been my go-to like motto forever. Because it's true, man. It's like you could put it into perspective into everything, you know? And if you're not having fun with something as, you know, necessary as your career and, you know, your livelihood, where else are you going to get it? Like, throw it in, let it make sure you're doing the things you want to do, and whatever your goals are for the year, like, you know, find a way to kind of stick to it. That's my best advice. It's like, cause we all have a different approach, but accountability, man, find a way. That's the best way. So now we know what to do at the end of the year when we have our recap.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, we got to figure it out.
That's good. Well, it was good catching up with you, buddy.
Yeah, same here.
All right, man. I'm looking forward for the next one.
Thanks, man. I'll catch you later.
See ya.
All right. Peace.